says Jerry Hyatt's family. Jerry was called home yesterday. He had, bypass surgery 1 month ago and passed as a result of complications. So if that's current, if not, please pray for the family. Okay, now we'll turn over to Missy and our program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to thank everyone who volunteered to, well, maybe a little bit of pressure to do a reading today or to participate in the lighting of the candles and the windows and the hanging of the greenery. I really do appreciate it. So I want to talk first a little bit about the hanging of the greens service and how it kind of relates to holiday season. About 2,000 years ago, some simple shepherds were watching over the sheep on the Judean hillside in far-off Palestine. It was night and it was very still. Suddenly, the darkness was filled with a strange light. The stillness was broken by the sound of angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all." And so began the event that inspired one of our most beautiful and meaningful religious festivals, Christmas. As we began the Christian year, we do so by celebrating the holy season known as Advent. It's a time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of our Messiah. Advent means coming, so we celebrate these days of Advent in expectation and preparation for Christ's arrival. Throughout the centuries, Christians have observed a time of waiting and expectation before celebrating the birth of the Savior at Christmas. The Advent season is a time for reflection and preparation, but its mood is joyful. Advent has been enriched by Christian tradition to reflect its distinctive Christian meaning. The season of Advent proclaims the revelation of God's love as expressed in Christ's birth in a humble stable, which continued into a sacrificial death on the cross and his victorious resurrection. It points to the hope of Christmas, or of Christ coming again as the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. The Advent makes innkeepers of all of us, asking each of us to make room for the arrival of Christ the King. Let us today prepare for him room in our hearts, our lives, and our homes. So today our church will begin to wear its Christmas apparel. We'll change the appearance of the church in order to make ready for the birthday of our King. This preparation is done for the beautiful occasion. It's not something that we hire out to be done for us, to be performed by others. Instead, it's something that we do ourselves, each individual or family, sharing in the furnishing of the house of God's house for the celebration of Christmas, the birth of Christ. In this spirit, we invite each of you to share this occasion with gladness of heart and the anticipation that you too are able to make it possible for Christ to enter in. As we decorate the church and wreathe it with song, we will explain the history of the symbols and dedicate them and ourselves to the glory of God and His Son, Jesus. Miss Carol's coming forward for the next section.
Of Christmas is the use of evergreens in our churches and homes. Among ancient Romans, evergreens were an emblem of peace, joy, and victory. The early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change color. They are evergreen, ever alive, even in the midst of winter. They symbolize the unchanging nature of our God, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is ours through Jesus, Christ Jesus. Evergreen trees, garlands, and wreaths are symbols of the eternal life available when Jesus comes into our lives. The wreath itself, a never-ending circle, also reminds us of the endless love of God. We hang the wreaths to reflect our joy in the abundant life we find through Christ, the laurel, and the baby symbolize victory and triumph. The yew and the cypress symbolize eternal life. Mistletoe is regarded as a symbol of peace, and Christians came to see in the prickly leaves and the bright red berries of the holly, symbols of the crown of thorns and the sacrifice that the Christ child would make on Good Friday on Calvary. God is everywhere in nature, in sky and water, mountain and valley, grove and meadow. Let us honor and praise our God who is behind the green.
Thus, every time a Christian lights a candle, he or she is in effect declaring their Christian faith and belief. The first century church did not commonly use candles, for the long days of the Mediterranean region stretched to embrace part of the night. It was when persecution drove the worshipers to the catacombs that they found it necessary to use lamps and candles. After Christians were allowed to worship openly, the custom of using candles in worship became well established. The candles we place in our windows today have a twofold purpose: to recognize Jesus as God's light in the world, and to recognize how we too become God's light in the world. As the Gospel of John says, Jesus is the true light, the light of the world, the one who dispels darkness forever. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus told his followers as well, "You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth." We carry the light of Christ within us, not just through the Christmas season, but all year round, and are commanded to invite others to Christ's calling out of the darkness of sin and death. Our calling is to be an incarceration of Jesus into our dark world. Christ's light shines into our hearts and through us, which empowers us to become that light to the world. The candles also remind us that Jesus has promised to return. We wait expectantly for this promise, for his promise to be fulfilled, in the hope that Christ's light continues to shine until the end of times.
Advent wreaths were originally fashioned of evergreens, twisted together in a circle to symbolize continuous life across the seasons, from the depth of winter to the new life of spring. Naturally, this earthly symbolism also points to the spiritual symbolism of newness and the promise of eternal life and salvation offered through the sacrifice of Jesus. The circular nature of the Advent wreath, similar to a wedding ring or band, is further meant to reflect the unending love of Christ and eternal life offered through salvation. In almost all Advent traditions, lighting candles is a prominent feature of each week's commemorative celebration. Candles and the light they produce reflect the light that come into the world with the arrival of Jesus. Each Advent candle is lit on one of the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. In most traditions, the lighting of the candles is used to reflect on hope, faith, joy, peace, light, and purity that came into the world with the gift of the Messiah. There's also symbolism in the colors of the candles. The three purple candles symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David. He's coming as the King of Kings as well as the Prince of Peace. The pink rose candle is to be lit on the fourth Sunday of the Advent season. This candle represents joy. The large white candle in the center is known as Christ's candle, which is lit on Christmas Eve. And we'll now have our first Advent reading of the season, the Candle of Hope. first Sunday is hope. Today is the beginning of Advent, the preparation time for celebrating Christ's birth. We are here because God's promise to our ancestors came true when Jesus was born. God's promise is kept each Sunday when we worship because Christ is in our midst. God will keep the promise to come again in glory. Scripture is the prophet Isaiah says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But I will arise upon you, and God's glory will be seen upon you." We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into our darkness. With the coming of this light, there is hope. Because of Christ, we not only have hope, but believe that good is stronger than evil. God wants us to work for good in this world. Shall we all bow our heads in prayer? Oh God, we thank you that Jesus brought hope into our world. By the good news of the Bible, you are still bringing hope to people. Help us to be ready to welcome Jesus Christ so that we may think good thoughts and do good deeds, and that we may be a people of hope in our world. Amen.
Nativity, one of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom. The characters in the Nativity each have a lesson to teach us. Mary reminds us to willingly and wholeheartedly accept God's calling in our lives, no matter how impossible it may seem. When God has a will, he will make a way. Joseph teaches us to trust in God's plan, no matter what others may think of us. The lowly shepherds teach us that Jesus is for everyone, no matter how rich or how poor. The angels teach us to share the good news of Jesus. The wise men teach us to always seek Jesus and trust in God's plan, no matter how long it takes. And then the Christ child reminds us just how big God's love is for us. How God chose to send his son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings, we do not know. What we do know is that God reached out to all people, including the poor and the wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him, knowing God is possible because he came to us at our level. Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love in coming to us.
Thank you.
Some people, when a Christmas tree they see, may only think it's just a tree with shining lights and a star so bright and pretty colors that gleam in the night. But to me, it's so much more than lights and stars and ornaments galore. For when a Christmas tree I see, this is what it means to me. At the top is a star shining so bright, like the one that shone that first Christmas night. Or an angel like those who to the shepherds did sing, glory to God for the newborn king. The tree made of wood with its branches spread wide is like the cross upon which our Savior died. Its color evergreen means life everlasting, which can be yours if you will just ask him. Its lights shining so pretty and bright are like the light of the world, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Like pieces of tinsel too many to count are God's unending mercies, they freely abound. The ornaments are bright crimson red, like a great drop of, like great drops of blood that for you he shed. Garland gracefully wrapped around the tree is like God's grace which wraps you and me. The gifts under the tree are nice as can be, but the greatest gift ever is Jesus, you see. For he came to this earth to die on a tree, so you and I from sin might be free. So give him your heart and happy you will be, that his gift of life has made you free. How pretty are these wonderful trees, but none are as beautiful as God's Christmas tree.
In America today, the Christmas tree is the center of many family festivities. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it's part of the beauty and meaning of Christmas. There are several legends and stories about how the Christmas tree came about. History books indicate the first use of Christmas tree was in the medieval German paradise plays, which were held outdoors and portrayed the creation of mankind. The tree of life was a fir decorated with apples. Later, other ornaments were hung on them, such as paper flowers and gilded nuts. In England, branches or whole trees were forced into bloom indoors for Christmas. From these beginnings, the use of a Christmas tree was established. Martin Luther was perhaps the first to use a lighted tree. The story is told that one Christmas Eve, Martin Luther wandered outdoors and became enraptured with the beauty of a starry sky. Its brilliance and loveliness led him to reflect on the glory of the first Christmas Eve, as seen in Bethlehem's radiant skies. Wishing to share with his wife and children the enchantment that he felt, he cut from the forest an evergreen, glistening in snow, and took it home. He placed it upon it candles to represent the glorious heavens he had seen. The use of a candle-lighted tree spread to all Europe, and then America came to regard it as the central ornament of Christmas. So we invite each and every one of you to come up and help place ornaments on the tree as we sing our closing hymn, 270, Joy to the World. And if you didn't get one on your way in, we have a box of them up here to put on.